That's my young friends singing along right here in studio. Good evening to you, my dear friends, and welcome to The Kids' Perspective. It is the second week of the month. It is, of course, the 10th of May, 2020, 2024. And welcome to The Kids' Perspective. Truly appreciating your coming through as we go into today's episode. We are so excited that you are joining us on this year, Kids' Perspective. It's a good Friday to have a good Friday, I think it is. Happy Sabbath to you, my friends, and welcome to it as we go into this segment together. I'm going to be joined... I'm not alone in studio. I'm going to be joined by a couple of my young friends, and of course also joining us is our pastor who will be assisting us as we go through this segment together. This is a kid's perspective with a difference. Usually we have kids kind of questions, right? We want to ask God about sin. We want to ask God about the things that happen on the Sabbath. We want to ask God about this and the other. But this time around, it's not something you would usually expect to find as a question from our young friends, right? We are being asked questions about the revelations, questions about the end times, questions about the 144,000. You're like, yo, these kids, I think they're spending too much time in adult Bible studies. They must go to the kids class is what I feel like. But hey, anyway, the pastor must, all the best for the pastor. Do join us, please, as we're streaming live on many platforms. First and foremost, you can find us on our application. That's the AWRSID Media app, which you can download on your Play Store, download in your App Store, and you can be enjoying content 24/7 that we produce here. Or you can find us on our website, sidmedia.org, together with we're streaming today on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page, the SID Media. Find us there. We're also going to be streaming live on the different platforms, Iono, Streamer, Radio Garden, Simple Radio, you name it. We are found on those platforms. And of course, don't forget, the content is nice. We know. That's what we curate it to be. We make sure that we give you Bible-based content. But also, it's good enough to share. So don't just enjoy by yourself. Tag somebody, call somebody to enjoy with us this evening as we go into this study together. And also, what we also want to encourage is that as you're enjoying with us, send through your questions, your comments, +27 73 470 3520. That's the WhatsApp line, +27 73 470 3520. Or you can call us right in studio, +27 12 001 7679, as we enjoy each other's space this evening right here. I'm then going to ask our friends joining us in studio to just introduce themselves as we go into this space here, studying together all things the book of Revelation, all things the end times, all things the 144,000. I'm going to ask, starting off from my left, we've got the gentleman in the yellow. Good evening.
My name is Jaden Stodge. I'm 12 years old, and I come from Golden Harvest Church SDA.
I like that. I like it. You were a bit confused about the age there, Jaden. Did you just turn 12?
Yes.
Ah, it's a new number, Ne. I can see it's not yet you're not yet used to that one. It's all right. It's all right. Thanks, Jaden. Then next to Jaden, we have the rose among all the other thorns. Hi, Sissy. What's your name?
My name is Eden Gandla, and I am 9 years old, turning 10 in June.
Okay.
I come from Golden Harvest SDA Church.
Oh, you're also from Golden Harvest. Okay. Okay. Well, represented Golden Harvest here. Yeah. Let's then to the gentleman on the other side. Let's start over there by the far side. Yes.
My name is Aquila Maka, and I'm 11 years old, and I'm also from Golden Harvest SDA Church.
Ah, also from Golden Harvest. Okay. Okay. Golden Harvest three already so far in the house. Okay. And then the last but not least.
My name is Jaden Chiguma. I'm from Golden Harvest SDA.
Okay.
And I am 12 turning 13.
You're 12 turning 13. When are you turning 13, Jaden?
19th of September.
Ah, that's too far. We don't count it yet. Okay, so it's a full house from Golden Harvest. I think I'm having a bit of a picture what kind of lessons are happening at Golden Harvest. But Dalabek, Golden Harvest, please, please, please don't teach the young children heavy topics. Allow them to play about David and the Goliath. Let them do those nice stories. Little David, play on your harp. Those kind of things. Leave these topics, please. Don't traumatize our children. We beg of you at Golden Harvest. But I'm kidding. Of course, this is wonderful stuff to say. Kids, they ought to be children of the book as well. And then let's then turn over to the team that's joining us out of studio. We've got two gentlemen that are joining us on the line on our airwaves. Let's start with a young man. Hi, Tavi. So you can unmute and introduce yourself.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening. My name is Tavi Sonyati. I'm 13, turning 14 this July, and I also go to Golden Harvest.
Hi, Bo. Kanti Monopoly Ngaga Golden Harvest. Okay, okay. Welcome, Tabiso. We appreciate you. And by the way, if you want your child or you want your children from your church or you want yourself as you're tuning in to be a guest, be it on kids' perspective or on the Bible perspective, you can text us your interest as well. +27 7347035 20. No, SID Media Sanbona, you only choose certain people that you like just because you like them, therefore they come to us. No, no, it's open. If you two want to join us in studio on the kids and ask kids' perspective and ask some questions, you definitely can do that. And then my pastor for the evening, the man in the hot seat, the brave man, the one who thought, I can do this, give me this mountain, I can tackle it. Mfundiswami, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Derek. How are you doing?
No, doing all right. Doing all right, Mfundisi. Trust that you're well.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I didn't say I could do this, but someone cornered me into doing it.
It was a trap, Mfundisi. If I had known, I would have given you a hint. Mfundisi, run away. It's a trap.
Imagine. They made me to agree to it before the questions came in.
No, of course, Mfundisi, you've got to be, the Bible says you must be wise as what? As serpents, right? Even though we're gentle as doves, we must be wise. So no, we know if we gave you questions first, it wouldn't work out. No, but thank you so much, Mfundisi, for availing yourself and being available. No, no, Mfundisi, these are children. Surely you're a man who did theology. This does not compare at all. So I know it's a walk in the park. You can even do it with your eyes closed. I believe in you, Pastor. I believe in you. All righty then. So that's our team for this evening as we'll be having our wonderful time together here. We opened up with one of the kids' favorites here. You heard today singing along in the beginning. I don't know if it was Ustandile singing along. Amazing Grace coming through from the VBS. And I always want to then encourage at this particular time to say, July, if you are in South Africa, I know it's happening the 1st to the 5th of July. That's the week that's tagged for Vocational Bible School, Vacation Bible Experience. Please make sure your kids go. I heard the kids here in studio saying earlier on, we are so excited. We can't wait to go to the Vacation Bible School. Please ensure that your kids do go and let them invite their friends in the community at school, wherever they are, and let them go to the Vacation Bible School. It's a time to just explore God's word, and they grow so much in that experience right there. All right, Mfundisi, I think I've broken the ice. I was trying to make you guys feel comfortable and to give the time, Pastor, to calm down. Pastor, are you all right?
I'm okay.
There we go. Guys in studio, are you all right?
Yes.
I'd like to hear that. Tabiso, are you okay? Tabiso, your mic is muted.
No, I'm all right.
There we go. You're right. You're good to go. Good to go. All right, so my time has just gone here. 14 minutes, actually. 14 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. We're now beginning our extreme evening. This is going to be a kid's perspective with such exciting times. We're going to be asking questions that are about everything found in the end times in the book of Revelation. So do join us as we are going to be going through this space together. Who wants to go first? Do we start online? Do we start in studio? Who wants to go first? Who is burning with the question about the revelation and the end times?
Start with Tabiso.
Oh, Tabiso, they're putting you under the bus. They say we must start with you since you're online there with pastor. Okay, so Tabiso, we're just going to be having the children bring the questions as they want to. We're starting off with those ones that are heavy and they really want to ask. And then hopefully Mfundisi, you will give answers that are Bible-based, but also answers that the kids can understand. Please don't bring Greek and Hebrew, Mfundisi. I know you went to school, but we wanted to be about the children today. Okay, Tabi, over to you. What's your icebreaker that you'd want to bring as the starting question for the pastor?
So when it comes to church and Christianity, we normally get towards things that are usually about our own religion and that we can apply to ourselves, such as the things we have to do to get to heaven. Now, I tend to wonder, will Jesus take people from other religions to heaven, and how will that go?
I thought it was going to be a light one, Mfundisi, to start you off easy. But there you have it.
All right. Thank you, Tabiso. Will Jesus take people from other religions to heaven? We read from John chapter 10. Okay. Jesus says, other sheep I have that are not in this fold, these are going to hear my voice and they will come. Okay. you read Revelation 17, you read Revelation 18, you will come across this text. They are God's people in Babylon, okay, who are not, if I may say, of this religion. These also must be called. But the question is saying, will Jesus take people from other religions to heaven?
Yeah.
Now, you see, what you need to understand is that Jesus or God deals with us at the level of our knowledge. Mm. What we know is how he deals with us. Okay, Acts 17:30. He deals with us according to what we know. So there are people in other religions. I need you to understand this. There are people in other religions who worship God the best way they know how. They are doing it according to the best of their abilities and to the dot of the knowledge that they have. Okay? So if Jesus comes and these people do not know the truths that we think they should, that should qualify them to go to heaven, yes, Jesus will take them to heaven because he will deal with them at the level of the knowledge that they have, which is different from, I give an example of myself. I know about the Sabbath, but I don't keep the Sabbath the way God wants me to keep the Sabbath. Mm. And that is a breaking of the commandments of God, one of the commandments of God. So I will not be taken to heaven. But suppose I'm not Adventist, I don't know anything about the Sabbath or the state of the dead or the prophets and all those truths that we learn. And I'm doing the best of my abilities to do what I know that I've heard and that I've encountered in the Word of God. If Jesus comes, yes, he will take me to heaven because he's dealing with me according to the knowledge that I have.
I like that. I like that indeed. According to the knowledge that you have. Is that a good answer, Tavi? Are you sorted,
Tavi? It's very good. And gives a clear understanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
It gives a clear understanding. Fundisi, but you're starting off very well. Let's hope it doesn't end in tears. Jaden, you want to follow
Thank
up?
Thank you, my good man, Tavi. So, thank you.
Complimenting the pastor. I like that. Jaden, what's your question?
So my first question is, are the 144,000 the only ones going to heaven?
Mfundisi, there you go. Are the 144,000 the only ones that are going to be going to heaven? And maybe Mfundisi, as you answer this one, let me... This is Jaden. This is Jaden. You want to know the culprit? No, this is Jaden. Mfundisi, maybe as you answer this one here... start off by giving us a basis to say who is the 144,000, who do they represent? Then you can then answer if they're the only ones going to heaven.
Okay. So Jaden's question is coming from Revelation chapter 7. Okay. That's where the 144,000 are mentioned. Okay. So we read about those in verse number 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. Okay. These are sealed. And they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay. So Revelation chapter 7 comes in to answer the question in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So who are the 144,000? Okay, I'll try and answer that in three or four points. Number one, this number represents the number of people who will be sealed, who will pass through the time of trouble that will fall upon the earth. Okay, there's a time of trouble that's going to fall upon the earth. So these 144,000 are the righteous living, okay? The righteous people have been sealed. They accepted the truth of God. They settled in the truth of God. And they lived and practiced the truth of God.
Okay.
So this number, 144,000, what you need to understand is that it is the total number of spiritual Israel. Okay, take note of that. We're trying to describe who these people are. Spiritual Israel, not literal Israel. Okay, they are ready to enter into battle. Okay, what is this battle?
Okay.
The devil and his people are on one side, God and his people are on the other. And because of the problems that are falling on the earth, the devil will deceive his people to blame the people of God to say, you are the cause why we are having all these problems here. And so these people of the devil will be afflicting the people of God. They'll bring problems to the people of God, trouble to the people of God. So this is the problematic time that the children of God must go through. But you need to remember, these are the righteous ones. Not everybody, but the righteous ones. Okay, so these are the end time, true and faithful followers of Jesus Christ, who are termed the Israel of God. So the 144,000 are the true Israel, pure and without spot. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And these follow Jesus wherever he goes. Okay? So the 144,000 are simply a select people who have been sealed, who have been set aside by God to go through a time that is called Jacob's time of trouble. They go through that time. And where is the trouble coming from? To put it simply, from the evil people who are giving God's people a hard time.
Okay.
So those are the 144,000. Now, let's get to the question. Are they the only ones who are going to heaven?
Yeah.
The 144,000, are they the only ones who are going to heaven? I want you to note this. The 144,000 is not a literal number to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thousand. Okay? No. It's symbolic. It's representative. Okay? It's not literal, as in to say we are going to get 12,000 from the tribe of Jacob, from the tribe of the sons of Jacob. Okay? It's not literal, but it's symbolic. It's spiritual. Why am I saying it's spiritual? You need to look at the tribes as they are listed from verse number 5, okay? Compare that with the listing in the book of Genesis, okay? Or in the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament. You're going to notice this. The tribe of Dan is not there. It's not listed. And the tribe of Ephraim is not listed, okay? Those two are not there. And you also notice that Joseph is not there, but his two sons are there, okay? So already the tribes, the 12, are not what they are or what they used to be in the Old Testament, okay? So this is not literal. We are not saying the 144,000, we are going to count 1, 2, 3, up to 144,000. No, it's symbolic of what John heard and saw, okay? So are they the only ones who are going to make it to heaven? The answer is no, they're not. These are just the selected righteous who will go through the time of trouble in the end time. You need to remember that we also have the people who are dead, but they died in the Lord. Okay. And these will be resurrected. And they will also go to heaven together with the 144,000. So the 144,000 are not the only ones who are going to heaven. Let me give you a little bit of a theology, okay? Do you like this? You guys are sharp-minded. I can see your eyes. You're bright. You're very bright, okay? I want you to notice this. When you read the book of Revelation, okay? When you read the book of Revelation, you realize that John writes in a very interesting way when he's writing the book of Revelation. At one time, he hears, okay? And then he turns to see what he will have heard. So we have two words there. Hearing and seeing, two senses there that are employed, the hearing sense and the seeing sense. Okay, so John, I'll give an example in chapter 1, verse 10 of the book of Revelation. John hears a loud voice as of a trumpet, and then when he turns around to see, he sees Jesus. So it means he heard the voice of Christ, and then he heard as if it's a voice of a trumpet, but when he turned, he saw Jesus. So what John hears in the vision and what he subsequently sees is actually one and the same thing. Okay?
Okay.
Let me give
okay.
you another example. Okay. John chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. John hears that the lion from the tribe of Judah is overcome. He hears the lion from the tribe of Judah is overcome. And then when he turns to see the lion, he sees Christ, the lamb, as having been slain.
This is Revelation okay? chapter 5.
So what? Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6.
Okay.
So what John hears and then what he turns to see is the same thing. Okay. So that's the same thing that is happening in Revelation chapter 17. He first hears, okay, I heard the number of them which were sealed. He hears the number. And then when he turns, he sees the great multitude. Okay. So the great multitude is the same group as the 144,000. So the 144,000 are represented as the soldiers of Christ who are going through war. And then the great multitude is the same group, but now it's the church that has overcome. They have gone through war and they've come out as victors. So in big terms, they say, when it is called the 144,000, mm-hmm. it's the church militant. And then after the Jacob's time of trouble, it's the church triumphant. Okay. Militant, okay. triumphant. So John hears the 144,000. And then when he turns, he sees the great multitude. So it's not only the 144,000 or the great multitude that are going to heaven. A lot of people are going to heaven, including those who are dead in the Lord. They will be resurrected and we'll go to heaven. Plenty of us.
So the 144 are the group at the end of time. And then there will also be everybody else. I like that. I like that.
Yes.
Exciting answer there. I've got many questions that have come to my head, Mfundisi, that I would want to quiz you on. But thankfully, today is not my day. It's a day for the children. So you have been saved by that one there. Thank you so much, Jaden. Are you okay? Are you okay, Jaden?
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty then. Okay. Let's then go to Eden. Eden, what's your question for the pastor?
Okay. My question is, what will happen to the people who will remain on earth after the second coming?
Okay, so after the second coming, what will happen to the people that will remain on earth? It's just gone 7 o'clock right here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media. Thank you so much for joining us as you are tuning in. This is The Kids' Perspective. It is the second Friday of the month, so we're having a study time with our young ones here in studio, hoping that you are enjoying. And please do share the stream with somebody else, the link with somebody else, so they too can be blessed as we study together. If you've got any questions, if you're at home listening in and the pastor is addressing the questions, and you've got answers, you've got questions, you've got any additions or maybe subtractions, please do text us on +27 734703520. Or you can give us a call right here in studio, +27 12 001 7679. Funisi, there's your question. To Angela Pana, what's your take, Pastor? What's happening with people when Christ has come?
Okay. That's an interesting one, Jaden. This is an interesting topic.
That was Eden.
Okay? The
that
second
was Eden,
coming
Eden
of Christ.
Fundis, otherwise Eden will fail.
That was Eden, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Eden.
But this part is not interesting because we are talking about the people who remain on earth.
Behind,
okay. We don't want to be part of that group. Okay. We want to be in heaven with Christ. When he comes, he takes us to heaven. So this is what's going to happen according to the Bible. I will give you text as I explain or respond to the question. Jesus comes. When Jesus is coming, there are literally two groups, which I will break into four, okay? Two groups, the living and the dead. Okay, two groups. And so Jesus comes, he breaks the eastern sky. The Bible, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, John chapter 5, verse 28, 29, we read that the dead in Christ will rise, okay? Only the dead in Christ will rise. That means those who did not die in Christ will remain dead, okay? And we have a group of the living. So among the dead, we already have two groups now, the dead in Christ and those who did not die in Christ. So the dead in Christ will rise. And then Jesus is coming. What will happen to the living? They are the living righteous. Okay. There are two groups among the living, two groups among the dead. The living righteous, okay, they will be transformed, okay, and they will be caught up in the air with Christ. Now, as Jesus is coming, the brightness of his glory, okay, will consume the living sinners or the sinful living people. They will die, okay? They will be destroyed by the brightness of the glory of Christ. You need to remember that when Jesus is coming, he is wearing three glories, if I may call them, the glory of the Father, his own glory, and the glory of the angels. So it's the brightness like we've never seen, okay? And that brightness and the righteousness of Christ. You see, God cannot behold evil, and men cannot see God and live if they are sinful at the second coming of Christ. So the living sinful will die. So the question is, what will happen to the people remaining on earth? There are no people remaining on earth. Everyone is dead except the angel and the devil and his angels, okay? That's what Revelation chapter 20 talks about when he says the devil will be tied and thrown into the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is this earth, but he is idle because he has no one to deceive, okay? Because everybody else who has remained on this earth is dead, and we all know the dead don't know anything, but those who are righteous living and the righteous dead, they have been caught up with Jesus in the sky, and they have gone to heaven for 1,000 years. So according to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 33, Jeremiah 25, verse 33, Jeremiah 4, verse 23, Isaiah 24, verse 3. These texts will tell you like that the earth will be like before God created anything on it, like Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Everything was formless. It was void. It was just darkness. There was no life on this earth, okay? Except when Jesus comes, the only living beings, if I may call them, is the devil and his angels. Everybody else is dead, and the holy ones are in heaven. So what will happen to the people? They will die, and there won't be any activity on this earth for as long as people are in heaven.
Nice and clear, nice and clear. Are you okay there, Eden?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Okay, let's turn to Aquila. Aquila, do you have a question for the pastor?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
My question is, when will the seven plagues take place and after what?
Now, Zomfundis, so you're speaking out what of the frying pan that into the fire.
What are seven plagues?
Yeah.
All right, all right. So when we visit Revelation 15, that's where the issue of the plagues begin, okay?
Okay.
From Revelation 15 all the way to chapter 16, verse 21, okay? That's where we get the story of the plagues. So the question is, when will the seven plagues take place and after what?
Okay.
So the plagues are coming. Why are the plagues coming? Because the wrath of God has reached its full measure. People are refusing to repent. You know, they are hearing about Christ. They are hearing about his love, his death on the cross, but they are not repenting. So the plagues will fall upon the unrepentant. But we need to locate, okay, when these seven plagues will be and after what. So for me to get good responses to that, I turned to the books written by Ellen White, so that we can be able to really place, okay, the order of events here. So you can read the book called Early Writings, okay, page 36 and page 37. You can also read The Great Controversy, okay, page 628, and even page 627. This is what you will find. I saw that the four angels would hold the four winds until Jesus' work was done in the sanctuary. So right now, where is Jesus, my good friends? Where is he?
Heaven.
In the sanctuary, right? In the most holy place, okay? And what is he doing
you're
there?
You're giving away the answers, Mfundisi.
What is he doing
Which
there?
Heaven were they? So they were supposed to answer. You see, these kids are smart. The questions they are bringing, they were supposed to answer and tell you which heaven.
No, we let that on slide, okay? So Jesus is there interceding for us, okay? I do something wrong, I go on my knees, or even if I'm walking, I can pray, okay? Busy, pray, God, please forgive me for this thing that I've done. I've done one, two, three things. And Jesus forgives me because he's interceding. He's my intercessor in the most holy place. Okay, so Jesus' work will be finished in the sanctuary, and that is the work that will be finished. One day it's gonna end. Okay, and Ellen White continues to say, and then will come the seven plagues. So we have two things here. Okay, no, let me say three. Right now, Jesus is in the most holy place interceding for you and for me. But this interceding process is going to end, okay? And that means the close of probation or a chance to repent and be forgiven of your sins. And then after this, the plagues will come. So these plagues are not going to make anyone repent, okay? It's okay. Punishment for refusing to repent. So these plagues enraged the wicked against the righteous. They thought that we had brought, we, the righteous ones, brought the judgments of God upon them, and that if they could rid the earth of us, the plagues would then be stayed. So a decree went forth to slay the saints. Great controversy. These plagues actually begin as soon as Jesus leaves the sanctuary. So Jesus is going to step out of the most holy place as soon as he leaves. There is no more intercession, and then the plagues will begin. So the plagues begin as soon as probation closes, and Jesus puts on the garments of vengeance. He is now coming, not as Emmanuel, God with us, but as Michael, the man of war, okay? So that's when the plagues will come, and after what? After the close of probation. You will also be interested to know that the plagues will not be universal, okay? That's Great Controversy 6:28, or else everybody would die, all right? Okay. So the question is, when and after what? When? Soon after probation closes. After what? After Christ steps out of the most holy place, and he steps away from his role as the intercessor, as the mediator, okay? He will step away from that role, and he will remove his priestly garment and put on those of vengeance. And when that happens, then the plagues will come.
Okay, all right. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Thanks, Mfundisi. I think it's a good answer. Good answer. Are you okay there, Aquila?
Yes.
You're sorted. All righty then. So you gave us Mfundisi when and after when and what. All righty. Jaden, what's your best question there for the pastor?
So my question is, must everyone on earth hear the gospel before the Lord comes?
Okay.
Must everyone? I don't know if it's a must, but let's read. Okay. Let's read Matthew 24, okay? Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. All the world, all nations, okay? And then in Revelation chapter, let's go there together. Revelation chapter 14 from verse 6. We know about the three angels' messages, right? And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. So everyone must have an opportunity to choose for themselves, okay? They must have an opportunity to choose Christ or deny him for themselves. And that means the truth will have been presented before them. They will have received the truth. They will have learned about what they need to know. And then if they don't decide, then that's another story. If they decide, good for them. And good for us too, if we decide for Christ. Okay, so yeah, everyone must hear so that everyone must get a chance to decide for themselves whether they want Christ or they don't.
All righty then. No, thank you. Thank you for that one there, Pastor. Really appreciate you coming through with that. I think it makes really a clear sense. Must everyone believe? And you're saying, no, actually, it's up to them. And of course, I think it's Matthew 24, 14, right? This gospel of the kingdom must go around. and then the end shall come. What a way to answer. Alrighty. That's the first round of questions. We are opening it up for those at home. If you've got any comment, any question, any addition that you'd want to share with us, that with the topic that we're covering today, we're talking with the kids here, kids' perspective, all things that are concerning to the end times, the book of Revelations, 144,000. You've been hearing how the tempo is like here in studio, and I'm hoping that you are enjoying with us there at home again. Share with us on +27 73 470 35220. We're going to take a quick break as we will be back just about now.
Amplify your mid-mornings with praise and worship on Mid-Morning Empowerment every weekday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. AWR.
From the simplicity of the word, if there is any salvation whatsoever, it matters. The fact that it is a positive word, it matters. Everybody needs it somewhere, somehow. Just like I said, does it matter to be happy? Before you even consider happy in what condition, whatever, the first statement that jumps up, in all simplicity, by the way, yes, it matters. Pardon me, my voice is a bit hoarse from the camp meeting that we had.
No problem.
The point is, we need to be saved. It's important. It's a necessity. It's something that everybody requires. Understanding what we need to be saved from then becomes number two. That's a different condition altogether, which I'm assuming that's where your question is.
This and more on Mid-Morning Empowerment, only on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Do you want to listen to Adventist World Radio SID Media but struggle with data? Don't worry. Get yourself the Hope Channel Africa decoder and switch to the Radio Bouquet to listen to your favorite Christian radio station. Contact us on +27 73 470 3520 or visit www.sidmedia.org to place your order. Do your children have questions about the Bible? Let them come through on Kids' Perspective on Adventist World Radio SID Media on the second Friday of every month to ask their questions. Text us on +27 73 470 3520 for a spot on the show. Adventist World Radio SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, that's where you're at, Adventist World Radio SID Media, joining us on this beautiful day where we are currently coming to you with the kids' perspective. Thank you so much for joining us as we go through this space together. It is time that we are just trying to understand some questions from the Bible, and our kids are joining us right here in studio. We've got Umfundisi joining us on the line, Pastor Mapa, answering our questions. And we have a couple of the young ones as well who are here with us as we are trying our very best to ensure that we give you the content that you need, the content that will get you the answers that are necessary. We had just finished our first round of questions. Welcome back. This is the second half and the final half, by the way, as we are coming through to you from the Adventist World Radio SID Media Studios right here in Irene Centurion. Welcome back, my dear friends. Welcome back, Jaden and Eden. Welcome back. How are you guys?
Good. We're good.
You're good. You're good. All righty then. And then at the end there, we've got Aquila and Jaden. How are you guys?
We're good.
You're good. Okay, nice stuff, nice stuff. And then online, we've got Tabisa. So Tabisa, you all right?
Good. Perfect.
You're good. Perfect. Hey, all righty then. Perfect. Mfundisi, you're still fine. I was giving you a chance to go drink some water there. You're still all right?
I'm all right. I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, yeah, enjoying. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Okay, then, Mfundisi, thank you so much once again for coming back. We're going to then open up for a second round. I haven't received any questions, so I'm thinking that you are answering perfectly. Oh, we have guys also joining us on the stream. Hi, guys. Hi, guys on the stream. Welcome so much. Thank you for joining us right here as we are together on this space. Let's then open up for a second round. Guys, I want you to bring those ones now that you are saying, okay, first, Mfundisi, I'll see how he will answer his questions, and then I'll bring my fire questions. So those are the ones that we need to bring now. We're going to start online with Tabisa. Tabisa, let's go with the second round. Mfundisi, as we come through, your best questions that you have been storing for the pastor.
So, Pastor, I heard you mention Jesus being our interceder and being the one that sort of excuses us of all our sins. And once the probation ends, that is when the plagues will come onto the earth. My question then is, based on the timeline, I want to know, where does the whole situation with the mark of the beast and the whole choosing of being righteous or not, where does that fall into play? Because I get a little bit lost when it comes to the plagues coming and everything. So does it come after or before?
Okay.
Interesting. The mark of the beast comes before. Okay. Before. Let me put the order properly so that we can put it in a proper sequence. Okay. The mark of the beast has to come. And then you need to understand that when the mark of the beast comes, there are people who are going to refuse to receive the mark, and they will be killed. But we don't hear of any righteous person dying during the Jacob's time of trouble. Okay, so the mark of the beast comes before that. Okay, it comes before that. And so the mark of the beast will come. Okay. We have that as the test of all Christians that will be living on earth. Okay, that's the national thunder law, the timing of the national thunder law. And we have those beasts coming up, Revelation chapter 13. And then the national thunder law is enacted. It has to be enacted. It's not the mark of the beast before it is enacted as a decree, okay, to say you must worship the beast and its image. And that brings the mark, okay? So the no buy or sell decree will also come. The thunder law is given, is the sign to leave the large cities, prepare to leave to the small ones, okay? So all those things will come. The universal thunder law, okay, that will cover the entire globe, okay, has to come. National thunder law has to come. How the image will be formed, okay? All those things have to come before the close of probation, because once the probation is closed, then there is no more time to decide for or against Christ. Okay, the mark of the beast is coming. It has to put a difference between those who obey God and those who don't, those who keep the Sabbath and those who don't, and those who believe in the Sabbath truth and those who don't, those who practiced the Sabbath truth because of the love that they have for Christ, and those who didn't, for whatever reason that they have. So that falls before, okay, so that everybody can get a chance to choose. Once probation is closed, that's when we read Revelation 22, verse 11. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is clean, let him be clean still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. So there is no more time to then repent after probation is closed. So the mark of the beast falls before the clause of probation.
Mm. Are you sorted there, Tamizo? So it's before the clause of probation.
Just one more small thing to confirm. So the mark of the beast serves as the differentiator between basically right and wrong.
The spirit of prophecy says the Sabbath will be the test, the end time test. That will be the solid test, okay? The Sabbath, the fourth commandment, okay? So receiving the mark is refusing. Oh, I said receiving is refusing. So receiving the mark of the beast is refusing to keep the law of God, the fourth commandment, okay? So the differentiating factor is the law of God, whether people will keep the law or not. The mark is simply a sign of where one falls, either on the side of God or on the side of the evil one. So the differentiating issue here is the Sabbath. The spirit of prophecy says the solid test will be the Sabbath.
Mm, nice and clear. Nice and clear. You sorted the T? I think that was good. That was good. Okay, let's then come in studio, but we'll take
it. Yes.
Thank you, Tavi. So we'll come then in reverse order. We're going to go to Jaden here on my far right. Let's have your fire question for the pastor.
So
Have mercy, gentlemen. Have mercy.
No, you're doing good, Mfundisi. You're doing good.
So my question my question is that will the children that haven't been baptized go to heaven or not?
Okay, the children that have not been baptized, will they go to heaven or not? Okay. Now, when it comes to children, we learn that there are children who are not yet at an age where they can declare their faith in God, okay, who cannot be baptized, okay? They are children of that age, 0, 1, 2, up to 12. That's the teaching of the Adventist Church, okay? They cannot be baptized, okay? So we have children who can be baptized, and we have children who cannot be baptized. So I'm going to approach this looking at it from different perspectives, okay? Number one, there is the issue of the age, okay? Some cannot yet confirm their faith in Christ. So yes, they will go to heaven. But if you have reached an age where you understand who Christ is, you understand what he did for you, you understand the depth of his love for you, and you still decide not to be baptized, that's when you will be bound now by Mark 16, verse 16, okay? If you are not baptized, then you cannot make it to heaven. Think of the thief on the cross, okay? There's a thief on the cross. He was not baptized because he had no chance of being baptized. We probably have kids like that who don't have an opportunity to be baptized. In as much as they may want to be baptized, they cannot for various reasons, okay? And God has to put, or will put all that also in consideration, just like he did with the thief on the cross. So we have situations that may allow or may disallow, and we have children that may decide not to be baptized when they can decide for themselves to be baptized or not to be baptized. And then we have children who are young, small, tender toddlers, and we cannot make a decision for Christ. But once you are at an age of making a decision for Christ, you should make a decision for Christ, and you should be baptized, for the love of Christ constrains you, okay? So to answer that question, I would give it a twofold response to say, there are moments when situations are not allowing. We have those. And we have age restrictions, okay? But we have children who are at an age of making a decision. If they decide not to, then they will be bound by verses like Mark 16, verse 16.
Yeah, that is profound. It's always a difficult question, that one day, Mfundisi, I must say. Thank you so much, Jaden, for answering, and thank you, Pastor, for just clearing that out for us. We're then going to switch over to the lady in the house. Eden, what's your question for the pastor?
Okay, my question is, will we be changed on our way to heaven, or we will be changed when we get there?
Okay, okay. So this is the transformation. When does it happen, Mfundisi?
Interesting.
Yeah.
When does the transformation happen? Okay, so to respond to that question, we need to visit 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, that will be our text that we use, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will read from verse 51. Okay, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed, or we shall all be transformed." So everybody who will go to heaven has to be transformed. They will go there in a transformed state.
Okay.
Verse 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound," okay, "and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Let's pause there for a moment. We have the righteous dead. We spoke about those. You still remember? You remember? Yes. We spoke about the righteous dead. Yeah. So we have the righteous dead. And here Paul is telling us that they are raised, changed already, transformed from their graves. They are changed from, the Bible is here, he's saying, "And the dead shall be raised incorruptible," the dead. And what happens to the living? "And we shall be changed." So if the dead are being raised incorruptible, the living righteous are also being changed. So we are changed. before we even make the journey to heaven. Because then we need to be in a transformed state to transcend the heavens and the many heavens that we'll have to transcend and the galaxies and all, okay? And to be able to defy gravity and go up there, okay? So as the dead are rising in a transformed state, we are also being changed at the same moment in the twinkling of an eye, okay? At the last trump, we are changed and then we ascend to meet Christ in the air. So the question is, when will we be changed? On our way to heaven or once we get there? I will say we are changed as soon as the dead rise. As they are rising, they are already transformed. We are also transformed in the same moment. Okay, the moment is the same. We are transformed. And then we begin our journey to heaven.
All righty. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Are you okay, Eden?
So you can also, sorry for interrupting
okay.
you there, Derek.
Yes,
you can also visit 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 4. Okay. You will also learn that the dead are raised in a transformed state already. And as that is happening, the living righteous are also being transformed in the same moment. And then we'll begin our ascent.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much, Pastor. So it happens right when Christ comes as we are resurrected and those who are alive will be changed. Mfundisi, we've got a question coming through from our WhatsApp line. That's +27 7347035 20. One of our young people at home are wanting to join into the conversation we have here. Hi there. Tanaso Chandada here is asking a question. Why will the earth be destroyed after 1,000 years if everyone who did not go to heaven will be dead? So I think she's wondering, why not just destroy it and then we come home, everything is clean already.
Okay, I want to believe God has to give everybody a chance, okay, to say, God, the decision that you made for me, either to be in heaven or to be here on earth dead, as everybody else is in heaven, those are the decisions that God will make for us according to what we have given him as we are living. So this is what's going to happen. The righteous people will go to heaven. 1,000 years. There is no life on earth. Okay? There is nothing that is happening on earth. The devil is bound. His angels are bound. They cannot deceive anyone because nobody is alive. And then when the New Jerusalem is coming down, these dead people who did not choose Christ, they will be resurrected. Okay? And then they will see. They will be given a chance to see that what they did and what the Lord has decided for them is fair and square. And every knee will bow and will say, your judgments are righteous. And then destruction will happen. Because God cannot destroy you before you are happy with what you are being given. You need to be happy with what you are being given, whether it's good or bad to you, okay? But God has to give people that chance to see their act, to see their deeds, and to acknowledge that the judgments of God are righteous and they are upright. Okay, so that, I believe, God is not going to destroy as soon as he takes people to heaven so that he can give the dead a chance because they are not going to resurrect when Jesus comes the second time. Okay, so he has to give them a chance to rise from the dead see their own judgments and then be happy with their destruction. Then the whole earth will be destroyed.
Profound. I like that. So he doesn't just leave them wondering what happened. He wants them to be answered. I like that. Thanks, Tanazo, for that question. Thanks so much. If you're joining us at home, you too can send through your comment, your question to +27 7347035 20. If you're joining us on the stream, be it on YouTube or Facebook, you too can send your comment and question. We have here people greeting and Mfundisi, happy Sabbath, enjoying the question and answer. Another one saying, beautiful program, powerful questions coming through from the future church. Indeed, we have a powerful future church right here. Thank you so much. Let's then come back to studio. Who wants to go next? Yeah, everyone wants to go next. Okay, let's give Aquila, since his name comes first in the alphabet, Jaden. Okay, yeah. Aquila.
My question is, when Jesus comes, will he come with everyone who is in heaven except God, or some people or some angels will be left in heaven?
Yo, this is a deep question, Mfundis. This one has got undertones that I'm hearing there. let's leave it to the pastor to answer.
I hope I'll be able to to pick those undertones. Okay. Yeah. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, I'm just visiting the text that are quickly coming to my head.
Okay.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay. So the angels are coming.
Okay.
Okay. How many? The Bible tells us thousands and thousands and thousands. And in the book of Revelation, we learn that there will be silence in heaven.
Okay.
Silence in heaven. And we are told that Jesus will come. Okay. So if Jesus is coming, I want to believe God remains there. Okay. There's no vacuum in heaven. God remains there. But Jesus comes to take his own. But even when he comes, he does not set his foot on the ground. He'll be hanging in the air. That's why Paul says we will meet him in the air. Okay. So Jesus is coming with the entire retinue of angels, all of them, to take you and me to heaven. So there'll be silence in heaven for about half an hour, which when calculated, it translates to about 7.5 days. Okay. So there'll be silence in heaven. All the angels will come. So the clouds that we are told Jesus will come in the clouds, those are angels. When Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, he was taken up by a cloud. Those were angels. And the same way he went is the same way he's going to come down with an entire retinue of angels. That explains the silence that will be in heaven. Yes.
I like that. But there are no people in heaven, though, coming with him, though, Mfundis. Or are there people there that are going to come?
I haven't come across people yet.
Oh, okay. It's just the angels that
Will
be coming.
I only hear of angels.
Yes. Wonderful stuff. Mfundis, we also have a question coming through before we come to you, Jaden. Askis, we come in now, I promise. We also have a question coming through from our YouTube stream, Pastor. We have Tiana, 7 years old, saying, if there will be sinning when we come back on earth. So they want to know, Mfundisi, now we spoke about the first resurrection, we spoke about the second resurrection. On that third coming of Christ, when we now come to dwell on earth, will there be sinning still happening?
Interesting one. No sinning still happening. Okay, the Bible says affliction will not rise again the second time. Okay, it will not rise again the second time. We need to remember that Jesus died only once, and we're not going to have a second Messiah. Okay, that is not going to happen. He died only once, and that was for all. So the people who are going to make it to heaven know what sin did to their God. They understand that. They understand what sin did to them while they were on this earth. And then they know how painful it is. And they love Jesus and what he has done for them so much that they will not dare think of doing such a thing. So we are transformed. We are a holy people. Okay. And there will be no sinning when we come back to earth. The new earth has no sin. Okay. And the new earth has no intercessions. And the new earth has no praying, because we will be living with Jesus. Okay. And no preaching. We'll be living with Jesus. So there is not going to be sinning in the new earth, because the Bible says affliction will not rise again the second time.
I like that. Hey, Mfundis, I think we need a whole new Bible perspective for that. No praying, no intercession part. Wonderful stuff that you're telling us there. We want to know more. But like I said, today is a day for the kids. I see we've got another question coming through. Oh, no, it's a comment just coming through from Melody from our YouTube page, the SID Media. Do find us there. And of course, if you miss this show or you want to share it with somebody else, you can always visit the YouTube site there, SID Media, and share this link later on with somebody else. Melody just saying happy Sabbath, everyone. This is so educational. Thank you, Pastor, and the kids. Okay, Jaden, we're back at you. What's your question? You were not okay with your question, Aquila. You want to come back, or is it a different one?
I wanted to say, will Moses, Elijah, and Enoch come with Jesus as Jesus comes to take us from earth? And will the multitude that goes to heaven, will they come also at the second coming?
Mfundisi, you said earlier on there are no people as you know in heaven. Aquila is saying, wait a minute, Pastor, there is Moses, there is Enoch, there is Elijah in heaven. Will they be coming? They are human beings, but they want to know. Pastor, getting schooled here by
Interesting
Aquila.
Stuff. Interesting stuff, Aquila. We didn't say there are no people in heaven. They are there. People are there in heaven, okay? We even read in the book of Matthew, it should be the 26th chapter, if I'm not mistaken, when Jesus rose from the dead, he took some, a select few, to heaven. So we do have people in heaven. But what I am yet to come across is if those people will come with Christ to take others here on earth. I only read of angels, okay? I only read of angels. Jesus is going to come with angels and take his people and go back to heaven. I've read also, if you read the book Patriarchs and Prophets, okay, something just came to my mind. Read the book Patriarchs and Prophets and read a chapter called The Death of Moses. Maybe I will use Moses as an example. When Moses was dying on Mount Nebo, okay, he was shown that he was going to be the one to open the gates of heaven for Jesus and the people that are coming from it. So I think, I want to believe Jesus will be in heaven. People will be in heaven.
Okay.
Jesus will come with the angels. Okay. And Jesus will be coming with these angels. People, I'm yet to come across that.
We don't have information. I'm yet to come across that. I like that. Yes. Are you okay now, Aquila? Sorry?
Yes.
All righty then. Jaden? We're back at you now.
Okay. Before I give my question, Tiana gave a good question.
It was powerful, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one indeed. Okay, your side.
My question is, what does the number 7 have to do with Jesus' second coming?
Okay. Mfundisi, apparently the number seven has something to do with Jesus' coming. We want to know what it has to do with Jesus' coming.
I'm quickly running through the files in my mind. And what I'm getting is that the number 7 is used in Bible prophecy as completeness. Okay, that's one. And to do with Jesus coming, we also find the 30 minutes I spoke about, the time of silence that will be in heaven for 30 minutes. It's also translated to 7.5 days. So I'm trying to link that with the question, not really having a ready answer on the top of my lip. But if we are going to say anything that links the number 7, to the coming of Christ, then the closest would be the 7.5 days when Jesus comes to take his people and then he takes them back there. The absence of sound and voice in heaven for 7.5 days when Jesus is coming to take his own, and then the presence of sound when we get back to heaven. I think that's what I can say for now. I will look into that one off the show and share. It's an interesting
question,
but that's what just came into my mind.
I actually remember earlier, Pastor, I remember I was saying to you, I want to ask you my own questions about the 144,000. One of them was if 144 is just a symbolic number, then why that number? Why not just say, and there were 7 people or something like that, you know, like, well, why are we at 144? But that's not a question for today. Let's leave that one. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Alrighty, I think we've gone around all our I want to say the questioners. You still have more questions?
I still have more.
Yo, Eden, do you also still have more?
Yes.
Yo, Aquila, do you still have more? You're done.
Not really.
Okay, Jaden?
Yes.
You still have more?
I have one more.
Okay, at least you have one. You guys, how many do you have, Jada?
One.
Also yeah. one. Also one. Okay, so one each in the studio. Tabiso, do you still have more?
One more.
One more as well. Oh, okay, so it looks like we have one more on each of our young people, Mfundisi. Mfundisi, you did very good. You answered all of them. I like it. I like it. And it seems you're doing very well. The guys are all saying we've answered, Mfundisi, you've answered. So I think this is a good section. Thank you so much. If you're still tuned in, this is the Adventist World Radio SID Media, the Bible perspective, kids perspective, to be more exact, is where you're tuned into at this point in time. We're going to be going to our last round of questions. The time has just gone here, 17 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. So, before the hour of 8 o'clock. Look at me wanting to stretch until 9, before the hour 8 o'clock. And so if you've got something still burning and you feel like you want to share something, now is the time. It's the kids' perspective, time for the kids to share. So we are enjoying ourselves as we answer Bible-based questions. And you can hear the kids are quite smart, eh? But Mfundisi, no, you missed something there. Let me assist you. All right, so let's start with Jaden. Since you are burning, we'll start with you. What's your final question for the pastor?
So my final question is not this one, but it's based Aibo. On the second
okay.
the question I asked before.
All right.
So when I asked what does the number 7 have to do with Jesus' coming, there are other parts in Revelation that include the number 7, like the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets,
and so forth. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just wanted to state that.
Okay.
My final question is, how would we know the 7 trumpets have sounded? Because there are different trumpets in the world. How will we know that these
this
are
is the trumpets that God is? Ah, that's deep. That's deep. Okay, so Mfundisi, you said you're going to study.
Interesting.
Yeah, you said you're going to study and come back with questions, with answers rather. So Jared is now giving you a hint. He's giving you a scope to say, when you go study, Mfundisi, these are the things you must include in your study. There are many sevens, such as... But the question for today is, when you listen today, there are many trumpets. I mean, even the Jewish nation, I think, is still playing trumpets when they worship and to welcome the Sabbath and so forth. You listen to some music, it's got trumpets. They want to now know, to say, okay, so which one is the trumpet of God and how do we know that it has now sounded when there are so many trumpets?
I am trying to get there.
Okay.
When you're getting there,
we've got a comment coming through from our YouTube page here. Mfundisi Omaya saying, well done to the kids. They are asking very informative questions. I like it. I like it. It seems like we must maybe cancel Bible perspective and just keep the kids' perspective. The kids are doing it. The kids are doing it. Yes, Mfundisi, you found it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, this is Revelation chapter 8. Okay. And Revelation chapter 9, that's where we find the trumpets. And these trumpets, if you notice, they are indicative of, if I may call them signs, okay, that point, if I may say. We look at here fire, hail, and blood. Okay, that's verse 7. We look at the second angel that sounded, great mountain burning with fire, part of the creatures in the sea. Okay, we also have the falling of the great star from heaven, which is called Wormwood. We see the fourth trumpet of the sun, the moon, and the stars there. War to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other voices. The fifth trumpet is that of the locusts. The sixth trumpet, we have the angels in Euphrates. Okay, and then we will find the seventh trumpet in Revelation chapter 11,
okay,
and that's where we find the temple of the Lord being opened, and we see in his temple the ark of his testament, and the voices, and the thunderings, and the earthquake, and the hail, okay? So they stretch all the way from chapter 8 all the way, the seventh trumpet, we will find it in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. So how do we know? Now that's a crucial question that I will have to visit. Okay, I will have to visit and give a proper answer. But for now, I would say they are indicative. They are sort of signs that reveal. So if a sign passes, you can tell. Okay, this sign.
So then they're not literal trumpets. We're not going to hear big trumpet sounds. It's just the signs and...
We're not. Yes, they're not sounds as in the blowing of a trumpet that we hear from heaven. But there are things that are happening, events transpiring on the earth that we will see. Oh, this one has passed. This one has passed. Not trumpets as in literal blowing, someone blowing into the trumpet and the sound coming.
Okay.
So that's not the kind of trumpet that we are talking about.
Perfect. Are you okay, Jay?
Something.
Okay, there's a clarity coming through. Okay.
So why is it when, for example, you look on Google for the seven trumpets and you go on images, why do they show actual seven trumpets being blown by seven angels? Is this a trick by the devil to trick us?
Okay.
No. Let me not say it's a trick by the devil to trick us, but I would say imagery has its own way of conveying things to our minds, to reach out to our minds so that we can easily understand. But then when we come to read now, to say, okay, we have a trumpet here. What is it being said about the trumpet? We go to the Bible, we read, we see that these are things that are happening on earth, and then we will know. That's okay. It's not a literal trumpet. Yeah. These are events that are transpiring. It's just an image that has been used to try and send a message, if I may say.
I was just wanted to add as well to that, Mfundisi, to say, if you look at our logo here, it says Adventist World Radio. It's got three trumpets for the representing the three angels' message. But actually, we don't believe that's actual angels who got to be going around with trumpets telling the world the three angels' message. So I think it's not necessary to trick us. It's just to awaken us to that. Thank you so much for that, Jaden. Let's hear Eden's. You had your final question. What's your question there, Eden?
Okay. My final answer is, when Jesus is taking us to heaven, which heaven will he take us to? The first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven?
Okay. Okay. There you go, Buddhist.
I want to believe it's the book of Deuteronomy, which says the third heaven. God is in the third heaven. He made even the third heaven. So when we are going to heaven, we are going to be with God, okay? Where he is, that's John 14, right? That where I am, you may be also. So it's the third one, the final one, the highest, if ever there's anything like that, okay? Where God stays, whatever number, where God stays, that's where we are going, to be safe. Where God stays, that's where we're going.
I like that. So it's about where he is staying. Don't be too concerned with the number of the heaven. We are going where God is. I like that. Let's hear from, you want to start with you? Okay, let's go then, Aquila. But Aquila, you said, move the mic closer to you. There we go. You said you had no question though, Aquila. Okay, but you got inspiration. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay, my question is it true that just after the seventh plague or on the seventh plague, is it true that God will tell us when he's actually, Jesus will tell us when he's actually coming?
This one is for you. After the plagues are done, we will then know exactly the day.
Stuff.
Yeah. Thanks, Aquila.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I've read somewhere in the Spirit of Prophecy, I wish I could really get there and read it out, where everyone else will hear as if it's the thunder that's just roaring, but God will actually be revealing the date of his coming to his people. We need to understand that this is after the plagues, okay? There are people who have gone through the time of trouble that we spoke about, the sealed, protected. They go through the time of trouble, okay? So at the end of those plagues, you need to understand that these seven, this is suffering. These people are in trouble.
Yeah.
They are afflicting themselves. They don't know if they are in the right with God. They don't know if they are standing upright with God. So they are always praying, you know, to God so that God may hear them. Okay. So I've read somewhere where it says other people will hear as if it's thunder. Okay. But it will actually be the voice of God revealing the date of his coming to his people. Okay. So I've read that, but it's not coming to my mind where I found that, but it's there somewhere in the spirit of
God. We're gonna you are banking too many things now, Pastor. You've banked a couple of things that
sorry,
you're like, no,
sorry
guys, I will come. So we're gonna hold you accountable, Pastor. We will want to come back with our kids to say, give us the answer.
So I should have brought it, but it just came. Yeah.
But you will definitely will share this with our listeners when the
we'll
pastor has
that.
Given that.
Yeah,
I like we'll that the pastor that. Is promising. Yeah, yeah. He's not just saying, guys, it's there somewhere. Go look for it. He's saying, I will find it for you. Thanks, Mfundisi, for that. Jay, what's your final question?
So my final question is, why did God make three heavens?
Okay. So apparently Eden said, which heaven? Now Jaden is like, why even many heavens? What's going on here, Pastor?
Unfortunately I cannot get into the mind of God to understand why.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can only insinuate and maybe
as you do
this.
That maybe just start off by pointing out the different heavens, if you have that information at hand, to just say which are these three heavens, and then like you're saying, maybe we might not have the answer per se.
Let me not go there. I might give inaccurate information on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't have it ready with me. Yeah, but as to why three heavens, let me just say it's the goodness of the Lord, man. His greatness, showing his wonders of creating, the power
of creating.
It's just like asking, why do we have, how many galaxies do we have?
Ish.
Why do we have
so
different kinds of stars? And why do some fall? Why, you know, it's I think this is just the marvelous work of God, you know, his art, you know, his power of creating and making things look beautiful, for his own purposes and for his own reasons.
I like that. Maybe Mfundisi, I can venture and maybe you would then add to your study list that you will come back with answers for us. That I've heard I've heard that
why three heavens.
They say that the first heaven is our sky, so our atmosphere, where we are dwelling as people. This is the first heaven here where the birds are flying, and so forth. And then as you exit now the stratosphere going into space, that now becomes the second heaven where there is no air. They are the stars dwelling there, and the moon and the stars and everything there. That expanse of space, that becomes the second heaven. And then the third heaven is then his abode where he stays, like you put across earlier on. That's what I have heard Mfundisi being put across. But yeah, the pastor then add to that. So when you then look at the why, like Jaden is asking, why then do we need the three? It's almost then says as purpose of for the dwelling of these certain things. Number one, for our environment to sustain us. So that's where things happen here. And then number two, for the bodies, celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars. And then number three, for his own abode, is my thinking. But yeah, Mfundisi will go and clarify that.
Alrighty, which is quite informative.
Mfundisi, we've got a comment here. Maybe before we then take Tavis's question, which will be the final question for the evening, we've got some few comments. We have Adiola who sent a comment here. Indeed, God will keep his future church. God guide them, these young ones, right? And may your angels encompass them. This is God's angels encompass them and bless their parents. Indeed, thank you so much, Adiola. We also have Ntutu saying there, it's very clear that we must never underestimate the children, right? The kids, they want to know more. Let's not deprive them. I'm so shocked. These kids are so smart. Indeed, this is truly some deep stuff. You can say that again. And you know, I'm taking back my words and fullness. Remember, in the beginning, I was like, "Hey, why are these kids asking so many questions?" I was blaming the Golden Harvest elders and pastors to say, "Why are you punish the kids and abuse them?" Can't. No. I think this is quite necessary. So inspiring to see
it
this.
It could be the trajectory that the church should take.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. We need a crash course 101. Golden Harvest, please. Please conduct a master class on how to do children education. All right, we've got Tabiso coming through with our final question. Let's hear it, Buti.
So when it comes to us as children entering heaven, I know about the basics, such as when Jesus prophesied about following God's commandments and the things we have to do to get to heaven. For us who have not necessarily been baptized and haven't reached that age, it almost feels like the commandments are sort of tailored towards adults and those who have experienced the trials and tribulations of the world. So I just want to know, what can us as children do to ensure entrance into the third heaven?
Interesting one, Tabitho.
Yeah, closing up on a high note.
I would. Indeed. I would want to say the commandments are not tailored for the adults. Okay? I'll give you a simple example and say, do not steal. It's not only the adults that are tempted to steal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We, the young people, are tempted to steal. So, the keeping of the commandments is not only for the adults. It's for all of us, okay? As long as you know to distinguish between wrong and right, good and bad, light and darkness, you are expected to, as you are taught, you know, you have the commandments. But what you need to understand is the commandments are not the very first thing, okay, which is prerequisite for making it to heaven. You make it to heaven by grace, okay? And mm-hmm. grace comes through accepting Christ, okay? Having a personal relationship with Christ. And anyone can have that kind of a relationship with Christ. It's not only for the adults. All of us here and our friends listening, that we can all have a personal relationship for Christ, with Christ. What do I mean by that? Jesus doesn't have to be the Jesus of your dad or of your friend or of your guardian. He has to be personal,
yeah.
Okay? You have to love him for yourself. You have to know him for yourself. You can experience him for yourself. Mm. And you can understand the depth of his love for yourself. And so now when you understand that love, it's that love now that will push you into obedience, okay? We don't obey or we don't keep the commandments so that we make it to heaven or so that we can be saved. But we keep the commandments because we have a relationship with Christ. So keeping the commandments is not sort of like a passport that will take you to heaven. So we, all of us, no matter how young or how old, we can all have a personal relationship with Christ. And that is the starting point. That's what you must do to ensure that you make it to heaven. Have a personal relationship with Christ. And heaven is not the ultimate goal, but you can actually have a personal relationship with Christ here on earth and enjoy that relationship here on earth before you even make it to heaven. You can enjoy that kind of a relationship with Christ, and then heaven will be like the icing on the cake, okay? Like the final touch. So you have a personal relationship with Christ, and this love for Christ will lead you into a life of obedience, okay? That includes praying, that includes keeping the commandments, obeying your parents, studying the word of God, witnessing, using your talents to serve God, okay? So commandments are not tailored for the adults. They are for all of us, but they come after a relationship, okay? Mm. Which is what you need to do to ensure that you make it to heaven. And it's a challenge that I want to leave with you and the rest of the world that the Adventist World Radio is reaching out to.
Yeah.
Have a personal relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Don't go to church because your dad is saying go to church, or your guardian or your uncle or your granny is saying go to church. But go to church because you want to, because you understand the love of Christ, because you have your own relationship with Christ. And that's what you need to pray for. Ask for that and God will give it to you. And I tell you, you will enjoy Jesus as your friend.
Ah. Indeed, you will enjoy Jesus as your friend. I think that's wonderfully put. Are you okay there, Tabiso?
Yes.
Certainly. Thank you so much. Okay, guys, my time is up. That's our time saying a good night to you guys, and I don't want to keep you beyond bedtime. Some of you should have been sleeping. 8 o'clock has now just gone over. It's time for bed. just kidding. But Mfundisi, thank you so much. We really want to say we appreciate you for this one here. Truly, truly appreciate it. And I think the young friends, we really say thank you so much. What do you guys want to say?
I want to give a shout out
okay.
to Golden Harvest, my mom and my sister, actually my whole family.
Your whole family, shout out from Jaden here in studio. Okay, Eden, do you also have a shout out?
Yes. I want to say hi to my mom, my sister, and my whole family.
Okay. Okay, mom, sister, and whole family. Let's hear from... Oh, you want to... Aquila wants to say, you must greet this one, eh, Jaden. Don't forget, who do you want to greet, Aquila, before you tell Jaden who you must greet?
I want to greet my mom.
Uh-huh. Okay, so hi, mommy, from Aquila. Okay, then. And then Jaden?
So, I would like to give a shout-out to my brother. It's his birthday today.
Oh, okay, what's his name?
His name is Jason.
Jason, happy birthday to you from us here at Adventist World Radio. Okay, okay. And who else do you want to say? About Jaden says a shout-out. How do you want to say shout-out to?
I also want to say a shout-out to my mom because she helps me understand what questions I should make.
Oh, that's nice.
And her birthday is on Sunday.
Is on Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you guys know what Sunday is besides being Jaden's mom's birthday? What else is it?
It's the first day of creation and Mother's Day.
And Mother's Day. Okay, Tamiso had already given that. That is Mother's Day indeed. So do you guys, what do you want to say to your moms as we say bye tonight? Happy?
Happy Mother's,
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, indeed. Tamiso, who do you want to say a shout-out to?
Just a shout-out to everyone at church and to all the mothers that will be celebrating this Sunday. Just want to show our gratitude and to my whole family.
Nice stuff, nice stuff. Mfundisi, your final words as we say bye before you then pray for us?
Sure. Thank you, guys. It's been nice having you. You really gave my mind a jogging here and there. it's been great. I pray that God keep you in the church and you keep reading. Yeah, keep doing that. It's really good for you. Keep reading. Books are good for you. Keep reading. And if we don't by any chance meet on this earth, heaven is a place for all of us.
Amen.
Heaven is a place for all of us.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you indeed.
Thanks, Pastor. You can pray for us.
All right. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the moment we have heard chatting with the young people. The church of today, I believe it is the church of today. Thank you for this wonderful time we have heard. I pray not only for the kids who are on the show, but for all the kids all over the world who are in search of the deepest truths that you can reveal to them. Continue revealing yourself to them as they study, as they listen, as they learn. Help them to continue growing in faith. And like Jesus, may they continue growing in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with you and with men. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mfundisi. Thank you so much, guys. Tabiso, Jaden, Eden, Aquila, and Jaden, thank you so much, guys, for coming through. When next are you coming?
I hope soon.
I hope soon also. As soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Alrighty then. We will definitely make that date. But thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate you coming through. And thank you to you if you're joining us right here on the Adventist World Radio. We really appreciate you spending this evening with us. It's been a wonderful 2 hours. We've just gone over 2 hour mark. Ooh, apologies for that. 6 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock. We're signing out now. Don't forget, Adventist World Radio is open 24 hours a day. But the next show is going to be coming up. The next voice you will hear is that of Millicent Diwani coming through with the breakfast show at 6 a.m. From me, Zanele Zama, who is the original owner of this show, and the team behind the scenes, we say to you, thank you so much for joining us on the Bible perspective, the kids' perspective. What you've received, as you heard from the young ones, always so potent and so good for you. Therefore, we say to you, Endai Naijoro. Good night.
So, do your children have questions about the Bible? Let them come through on Kids Perspective on Adventist World Radio SID Media on the second Friday of every month to ask their questions. Text us on +27 73 470 3520 for a spot on the show. Adventist World Radio SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.